I'm just arriving at Haygate's Flour and Feed Mill in Northamptonshire. It's a grey day and this building really looms from miles around. And at night time, you can see the building from 7 or 8 miles away easily lit up. And it's a grey kind of concrete, grey, massive building on my left-hand side. But I'm just arriving and, to be fair, it's sort of a juxtaposition between this beautiful old mill on my left and this Victorian kind of farm buildings, mill buildings, and perhaps even earlier looking at this stone, very traditional Northamptonshire stone. So I'm going to go and find out a little bit more about the mill. Just heading past me here on the left is a huge wagon. And the wagon driver's smiling and waving at me. The nice friendly face there. I think this might be the visitor's car park. Here we are. I'm parked under a huge willow tree, which I can see bubbling away there is a river. So let's go and find out a little bit more about what's going on in Northamptonshire at this huge flour mill. Oh, I've been teaching for a while. I'm literally just walking in. Laurie, hi. Sorry, Laurie, I think I need to explain to anyone who's listening that I'm very privileged to be here because you're actually a family friend. But you also, how long have you worked at Haygate's Mill and what do you do? Because I actually don't know the answer to either of those questions.
27 years.
27 years. Oh, smell that bread. That's very strange. Hang on a second, Laurie. So what do you actually do? What's your official job?
No, I link with the flour mill to the customer.
Right. So, and your end customers, who? What sort of, are they? They're not like people
like
me.
From the small to the large, the smallest to the largest. So the users of flour.
So what sort of company would be the largest kind of user? Would they be like a big sort of national bakery?
Well, our own bakery is very big, but our you've got big industrial users of flour that make biscuits or they make bread or they make tortillas, all sorts of those things.
And then right down to the smallest?
Yes.
Someone like me, a cookery school?
Well, indeed. You could collect the flour. But,
that's true.
We normally have a minimum drop of half a tonne or something. It depends where it is in the country.
I've been stopped dead by those breads written on with ink pen.
Because we've been testing those.
Hutch.
I'm not
Hutch.
Going to tell you what they are.
I'm
going to turn them over so you can't see them. Because they're our competitors' flowers.
Oh, sorry. No.
The best one is ours.
Well, that's okay
so
then.
So that's all right.
I'm not. I'm not going to have a peek. I was just interested in why they were written on.
In
pen. So you actually test against other people's as flowers to make sure that your own is doing okay.
Yes, or the best even.
Well, at least you can claim it with authority if you're testing.
Yes.
Very good.
Yes.
So we won't eat any of those.
No, they're not.
So what I want to know. And the reason I'm here is I want to know a little bit about the flour that we're baking with on an every day.
Do you want a cup of coffee?
Yeah, do you know what? I will.
Oh, or do you want a tea?
I drink hot water.
Hot water?
Yeah.
Okay.
Very easy. What I'm here to find out a little bit...
sugar?
No, thank you, just hot water. You're grinning away there. Right, I'm following Laurie around the room. Laurie, what I'd like to know and what I want to know a little bit about today,
is that all right?
The reason, yeah, that's fine, is about the protein and what makes a good flour, and how the structure works, and what the differences is between the different grains. Because I know you know the answers to those questions. So I'm going to put pause on and I'm going to drink my drink, and then we'll get back to that in a minute. But it's actually fascinating, and it smells amazing in here. It smells, like a bakery.
Little test bakery.
Right, so we're sitting down. We've got a cup of something hot here. Laurie, what makes a good bread, and why does it matter what kind of flour we choose to make our bread with?
What makes a good bread? Essentially the baker. So a good baker can make good bread from even poor flour. But the type of bread the person wants, and normally the type of bread you're looking at would be is a crusty, nice crusty, rustic type of loaf, often made to differentiate yourself to, say, the supermarkets, or although the supermarket sells some, is with a sponge and dough or a sourdough. The large bakeries have difficulty in making because it's hard to control, but for an artisan baker or housewife, that's a nice area to be. And I like that type of bread as well, because it's less heavy on the stomach. It doesn't sit heavy if you have a nice sourdough bread. So the gluten in the flour, and a lot of people don't like gluten, but you can't get all flour has gluten in it. And gluten is a long protein that, when you mix it with water, forms an elastic structure which holds onto the gas as it expands. So that allows the bread to rise and form, you know, the holy structure that you see. And gluten, the quality of gluten can vary, and it's important. English wheat's very good. The protein in English wheat, bread-making wheats, is good. And over the years, we use more and more of that in our flours. Some of our flours are all English. We've suffered a bit this year because the harvest was a difficult one this year, probably the worst one we've seen. But that wasn't because of the quality of gluten. That's because the wheat didn't grow. So they're very shriveled grains.
Just coming back to English flour, I mean, I've been told on many occasions that the English flour isn't really up to much, and there isn't enough protein in because there isn't enough sunshine, and that the sunshine affects the amount of gluten and how the corn or the wheat itself turns out. Hence why Canadian flour is so much more superior than English flour. Is that true, Laurie?
Well, Canadian wheat and Canadian flour is stronger.
Why?
Because the protein is a higher level of protein, and the protein is a stronger protein.
But why? But is that a different variety that they plant, or is it the conditions that it's grown in?
Both.
Right.
They plant in springtime because it's so cold there, the wheat wouldn't survive the winter. So they plant it in springtime, and therefore it has a short growing season. So their yield will be half of what the UK farmer is. But nature's quite clever. Nature doesn't give you sort of quality and yield at the same time. So nature gives you quality, but not quantity. So their yield is half, their protein will be high. And if you have the right varieties from Canada or America, they are good, strong varieties that will give you a good rise to the loaf of bread.
But our English flour can compete with that?
Yes, yes. The English bread wheats, when grown correctly, the best one was Heriwood, but that's being outclassed a bit at the moment in yield.
Heriwood being what? A particular variety?
A variety. So it's the best variety that we've ever grown, I think.
Right. And how many, I mean, how many different varieties of wheat are grown in the UK? Roughly. You don't have to name them exactly, Laurie. You look that look on your face.
I would think there's probably about 25 to 30 varieties of wheat, but I think only four or five are bread-making ones, There's perhaps another two or three that are bread making but of lower quality. The others are for animal feed or for biscuits.
When I walked in, the immediate thing that you've had on your desk here is Andrew Whitley's book, Bread Matters, The State of Modern Bread and the Definitive Guide to Making Your Own. And pretty much for anybody who is really into their bread making at home, this is a Bible. I know Andrew, he gave me his starter, who's very kind, gave me his starter. So all my bread has actually a derivative of Andrew's way back. But he's very damning about the British industry.
What is good for some, you know, where you're trying to make your own bread, these books are excellent. It gives you recipes, gives you methods. I obviously don't agree with what he says about other bread. So he praises his own, which is nice, and I like his bread, as I've said to you. I like more rye in the bread and make it more sour than he does. But that doesn't mean a nice crusty loaf off a baker's nothing. I mean, people like that just as much. Or the largest selling bread in the country is the plant bread. And why do people buy it? Because it's the price and they like it. But it doesn't mean to say that we have to impose and say that they're not good. They're just as good nutritionally, each one of them is.
It's interesting. It's good that we're all allowed a different point of view in this country, actually. It's a good debate to have. I wanted to ask you, a lot of people, and myself included, I have trouble digesting processed bread from a factory, and I don't know what it is. I've never quite identified what it is, and I actually believe it's one of the additives that upsets me, not the wheat itself, because I can eat sourdough. Do you think that the type of grain that is used, for example, some people say that they can digest spelt flour, other people say that they can digest Encorn flour. Have you noticed ever in your career that certain grains are more easily digestible?
No, I think what you're talking about is spelt wheat has got gluten in just the same. It's just an old variety of wheat. Doesn't mean the new varieties are different, but spelt wheat has a quite high ash content. So if you're making a sourdough, you want to use either a flour or a rye flour or something with the wheat flour that has got high ash content, and that enables the culture to work better, to give you a better sour dough. Now, what's that sourdough doing? That sourdough is a culture of bacteria. So that's breaking down the proteins and starches and that in the bread, which is probably halfway to what your stomach's doing, my guess is. Not proven, but if you have I like sourdough bread because it doesn't lay heavy in the stomach. But no one can prove it, so you can't make any claims about it. So it's all what people perceive and how they perceive it when they eat it themselves, but you can't prove it.
And it may, as I say, it could actually be an additive that people are not getting on with, not the wheat. It could be something entirely different, like a preservative in the bread that could be upsetting people. So it's not always about the wheat, I don't think. Coming back, Laurie, about the ash. What do you mean by ash? You don't mean the ash that comes out of my fireplace, do you?
No. No. When I suppose the nearest thing you would think of it is as fibre. But if you take a sample of flour and you actually ash it, you mean it's the amount of minerals and that are in it. And I suppose it's fibre content to some extent. And that helps with how the bacteria in the sour work. So a lot of Polish bread will have rye. German bread has got a lot of rye in it. Whether they make it with a sour or not a sour, they're quite distinctive.
And so when you analyse your flours here, I mean, you've got the most incredible bakery here. This is a small test bakery, which is absolutely an enormous room. and you've got your laboratories. Do you break down and analyse every single batch of grain that comes in here and look to see what's going to happen with it? Is that something that you do?
We test every lorry load, every tractor load of wheat that comes in. We test, of course we do,
and
we will test it for protein and that it meets the spec. Has to meet a specification.
And how many different types of grain do you mill here?
Probably about one. We are currently three English, two German, an American, a Canadian, and a French. How many is that?
My maths isn't my strong point.
So there we are. All those.
Oh, that's really good.
And that's all horses for courses, you see. So they make different flours for different purposes.
And do you do rye flour here as well?
No, we don't mill rye flour. We buy that in from a rye flour producer.
Mm. Right, so you kind of mix them up for various blends then?
Yeah, but we don't. No, we're not allowed. Flour in the UK can only be sold as flour, as wheat flour. We're not allowed to add anything to it. We've got in France, they're allowed to add bean flour, malt and other things to flour. We're not allowed to do that in the UK. If we add things to flour, we have to call it a mix or something like that. So flour in the UK is just wheat flour, and we're allowed to put in, well, we have to put in by law some vitamins and some iron, and that's by law. And that's since the war we've had to do that, and some calcium. We don't make claims of that, but that's what we have to do. And all flour in the UK, milled in the UK, but you can have continental flour coming in that doesn't have that in.
Do those ingredients affect the bread, Laurie?
I don't think so. The French will claim the calcium does, because they don't add calcium to flour. They think the calcium affects the acidity of a sourdough, but. I don't think
you're
so.
You're sceptical. You look. Yes. You've got your sceptical face
on,
Laurie.
I don't. They can say it because they don't. I don't believe it.
That's fantastic. So, in essence, what is the variety? What's the variant between various grains of protein content? Do you have like low protein content and high protein content? What would you is there a percentage of variance between various ones?
We will normally the farmer tries to grow wheat to a 13% protein.
That's for wheat. That's for bread.
For bread wheat, he tries to grow it at 13. A lot of it he will try his damnedest, but a lot depends on the good Lord. What you said earlier, the sun and what have you.
Yeah.
So and if he's lucky and does everything right, he will make it. Other times he fails, and then it's a lower protein that we'll still buy off him, but use it for something else, like a pastry or something like that.
So the lower protein flours can be used to make pastry and biscuits and cakes because they're not reliant upon the gluten for the rise.
Yes.
Right. Excellent. Yes. And then just out of interest, have you seen an increase in demand for English and British origin flours, or are people pretty impartial? Because I see people wanting and demanding more local food nowadays.
Yeah, well we hope so. There's a number of our major customers want English wheats and insist on English wheats. As I said earlier, we've had to import a bit of German this year because the English wouldn't make the grade, although with one large customer that I won't name, we've remained on all English for them on their insistence. So they want local and British food. They want it.
Oh, that's really good news. Right, well, I reckon I'm going to see if I can persuade you to show me in the mill. We'll finish our drinks here. Thank you.
Don't put that on Twitter.